B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, March 6th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Noah Smith of the Washington Post to discuss a little professional Madden. Plus, we'll check in with Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, when we ask our social media followers which gaming personality they'd hang out with if they could only pick one. That discussion is ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. Each week, we like to check in on what's going on with the major esports leagues. It was another busy weekend in the NALCS, OWL, and National PUBG League. So, let's start with the NALCS.
Yep, so another week goes by, and another two wins for Team Liquid and C9. They are looking very much like they are for sure going to be number one and number two, and it's going to be kind of a battle to see who takes basically third through sixth place. Yep. TSM is hanging in the third seat. They are 7-5, and then there's a four-way tie for that next position with a bunch of teams that are 5-7.
Now, so, do you think that this is evidence of a fairly high degree of parity? Obviously, Team Liquid is the outstanding one among the bunch, but, you know, with all of these kind of ties for the middle of the pack, did you think that you'd see more separations between the teams, or is this what you expected?
I mean, here we are at about 6 weeks in. Yeah, I thought at some point we would start seeing a bit more of a separation. I'm surprised we're seeing more parity, because last year, by this time, there were teams that were just flat out of it. Golden Guardians
were done.
Their split was over. But here we are with four teams at 5-7. FlyQuest, CLG, Optic, and Golden Guardians all battling it out for that 4th through 6th place spot, because in NALCS, you only got to make 6th place to make the playoffs.
So do you think that that's evidence of the lower echelon of the league performing better?
I just feel like the anyone not named Team Liquid and Cloud9 are a little bit more balanced this year. Those teams are, there's not so much separation of ability, because now you've got like Golden Guardians has gone from being a, you know, dead last two straight splits to now competing for a playoff spot. Now, meanwhile, you've got,
and earning their name back. I'm not calling them Golden Grams anymore.
No, you're actually gonna call them Golden Guardians.
That's
kind
correct.
Of you.
Yeah. Hey, they earned a spot. Come on, they earned it back.
That's fair. So 100 Thieves, Echo Fox, and Clutch are all 4-8. But that's the thing is, 4-8. That's one game behind the 5-7 teams.
That's
everyone is
so
still
bad.
In it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm really excited for League of Legends, because last year there were a bunch of games where it's like, I do not want to watch this match. It doesn't mean anything. Every game means something. If I have to sit through Optic Gaming slugging it out with, you know, Counter Logic Gaming, there's, well, like, that means something
and
still.
And to your point, like, it was, I believe it was 100 Thieves and Clutch that play last week, where you began to see how close some of these teams are. Clutch had that game completely wrapped up, and 100 Thieves just comes back and basically steals the game. I turned around to make myself something to eat and came back. And the 8K gold lead, gold lead that Clutch had was just gone.
Can we talk about that, by the way, that TSM C9 match with the Nico top lane pick? That match was exhausting to watch.
I thought it was brilliant.
Well, it was, but like there was never a moment you could look away. It kept feeling like it was going back and forth, and like by the end of it, you're just like, I've been on a journey.
Yeah, no, it really was great, and I think eventually TSM will be the team that sort of separates itself from everybody else for that third spot. But you're totally right. I have no idea who's going to end up filling out the bottom half of that playoff.
And thank goodness that the NALCS got rid of relegation, because this would have been a very complicated relegation situation.
I mean, at the same time, those matches would have been intense with all these teams so close. Every game would have been so cutthroat.
I mean, that makes it
that's
just
true.
As compelling.
That's true.
So that's what's going on in the NALCS.
All right, turning our attentions now to the NPL. We are now through week number 4, heading into week 5, which is the last week of standings before we get to Face It Global Summit that's happening in Europe.
Yep.
So teams are now battling for first through fourth place, which will receive the better part of the $200,000 prize pool. First will get $100,000, second getting $40,000, third getting $20,000, and fourth getting $12,000, and all of them fighting for a seed in the Face It Global Summit. The standings are looking really interesting because the last time we talked about this, we talked about how far the margin was for Tempo Storm being in that first place spot. Well, Tempo Storm is still in that first place spot.
Fairly comfortably.
With a total of 283 points. But
the gap is closing.
Nipping at their heels is Shoot to Kill, who's got 251 total points, which is closing that gap. Tempo Storm had a really rough showing last weekend, not doing very well on a couple of maps. They did win out the very last map, which was their saving grace. But
10 kills and a win on the last map. If they hadn't done that, they'd have been in trouble.
Exactly. And then coming up in third place, we've got Team Envious with 249.
Three point margin separating
between those, and then Cloud9 with 240 points, 9 points below Team Envious. But those are the top four. And then we've got the bottom of the bracket that's fighting out relegation. So we've got Ghost Gaming, E-United, Vicious Gaming, Lazarus, Noble Esports, and Oxymoron that are all currently on the chopping block and only 1 week left to go to figure out those bottom spots.
Yeah, based on the points, by the way, Lazarus, Noble, and Oxymoron are probably all but guaranteed a spot in relegation. They're going to be playing for it, but Ghost Gaming, E-United, and Vicious, they could catch Simplicity.
Simplicity's
only got 160 points. There's going to be a battle for that 10th spot.
Absolutely nothing is decided. And by the way, for the Face It Global Summit, $400,000 on the line, doubling the prize pool from the NPL. So a lot on the line going into the Face It Global Summit. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone currently joining us on Twitch over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. You can join us every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Checkpoint XP Daily. That's again over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Now turning our attention over to the Overwatch League.
Yeah, so actually, Joe, I kind of want to jump in there a minute ago when you're talking about the parity you currently see at the bottom of the NALCS. Same thing's going on right now with Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. You do have Nixle was the first one to clinch that Stage 1 playoff spot, and the LA Valiant, first one to get formally knocked out, but everyone else in there has between a 40 and a 60% chance to make the Stage 1 playoff.
Yeah, totally. And right now, NYXL and Vancouver really look like the only teams that are separating themselves from everybody else.
Atlanta's making a good move. Yeah, that's right.
Atlanta's making a good move, but still, Nixel and Vancouver are the only teams that remain unbeaten.
Though that said, Vancouver's only played 4 games versus Nixel, who've played 6.
Yeah, it's true. But again, we've seen Nixel's season-long excellence only to falter in the postseason. So I hope that this is not a sign of things to come. But, there are a lot of people who, even though they're sitting at the top of the standings, kind of are leery about saying Nixle was the far and away best team in the OWL.
Well, and then they've had a few game fives, and even looking as far as their game against Seoul, like when you look at how that sort of ended up, you'd think that Nixle far and away just completely ran away with it, but it was a struggle for both sides.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I think another big point that I want to make is the San Francisco Shock. The Shock have been a team that's been greatly improved, and they actually beat the Hangzhou Spark over the weekend.
They did.
And, you know, I didn't necessarily pick them to win this match, but they continue to show that they're a team that is supposed to be feared. Sinatra continually proves to be one of the most devastating Zarya's in the league. His damage output is usually near the top every weekend. So,
I wanted to fire back and say, hey, Hangzhou won a match too, but it was against the Gladiators.
That doesn't say anything about the Gladiators, though. Like, the Gladiators are still a pretty decent team. But, I mean, again, right now, when you look at the way a lot of the stuff in the league is going, they've had a lot of really tough matches at this point.
Man, I think you guys are burying the lead and not talking about the most important story out of the OWL, is that the Boston Uprising are not the only team to have dropped a game to the Shanghai Dragons. They picked up their second win.
They did. They beat Chengdu, but they also lost to Dallas, so...
So
I mean,
you know, look, I will be the first one to throw Dallas in front of the bus. All right, but they've been having a pretty good showing here so far.
Not
so,
bus in front of it.
That's right, in front of the bus. All right, so I wouldn't be too hard on them. I mean, you know, they haven't fallen as far as someone like the LA Valiant.
That's true.
No, I mean, who are they? Now, who are they this stage?
So Nate, Toronto played Boston over the weekend. I got to know. What were your thoughts?
I was much more ambivalent about this match because I didn't care as much who won because I'm sort of like
you like both.
Toronto's sort of like my sub team that I'm rooting for, right?
Okay, well, Toronto did 3-1 them, so
they did,
and Toronto looked very strong on that. And I got to say, listen, Uprising, let's get it together, let's refocus. I understand that losing to the Dragons may have had some psychological effects
Dallas,
on the team.
Dallas beat the Dragons,
but like, let's come on. I'm just saying, like, let's rally here.
But another big thing, though, is that Paris was 0-4 against Atlanta.
Oh, man.
I was about to ask, what happened there?
What was that?
You know what? Here's the thing.
Goats Atlanta, got shut down,
yes,
first of all.
Atlanta
shut
is a team,
down.
Along with Chengdu, that is perfectly okay with not playing on meta. They're perfectly fine with that. And they came in and they busted up a team that is so proficient at Goats that really, when they play other compositions, they kind of don't look like they know what they're doing. So I really think it's important to pay attention to Paris and Vancouver, because it's another goats heavy team when they go up against teams like Chengdu in Atlanta that are playing off meta.
All right, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there. But listen, we want to hear from you. What were you watching last weekend? What are you continuing to keep up on? And who are you rooting for? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we asked our social media followers this week, if you could spend a day hanging out with any gaming personality, who would it be? That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we sat down with Noah Smith. He's a contributor for the Washington Post covering Madden. Our conversation with him is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com. While you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Joining us now is Noah Smith, Washington Post sports contributor. Noah, welcome to Checkpoint XP.
Guys, thanks for having me on. I'm stoked to be joining you guys.
Oh, we're happy to have you here. So, as the numbers around the NFL kind of continue to be on the decline, do you think that, you know, they could benefit from tapping into their Madden scene a little bit more?
I think there's no question. I mean, the bottom line is that this is, you're talking about the second best-selling video game ever. I believe it's the best-selling one in the United States. The FIFA's number one, obviously. And so, even though it's sort of fallen behind NBA 2K in the last few years, you're talking about 20 years of people that have grown up, love this game. And actually, it was interesting. When I was covering this for the Post, I found out, in fact, that there are quite a few people who actually came to the NFL because of Madden. So they weren't football fans before. Blocky is one
really?
Of the people I spoke with. Yep. And so it was actually as a result of playing Madden that he actually came in. So obviously, when we're talking about gamers, they're younger. They skew younger than traditional sports fans, even though Madden's numbers are a little bit higher. But, you know, at the end of the day, no matter how you feel about certain issues plaguing the NFL, the bottom line is that Madden video game players don't get concussions. They don't kneel for the anthem, depending on which way you stand about it, but it's not an issue. So I think that the NFL's positioning right now, I think it's a huge mistake that they're more involved with the game. And ultimately, you can even look at owners. I mean, Robert Kraft, the Kraft family, they own a team in the Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not involved sort of in their own backyard with Madden NFL, unlike the NBA, obviously, where you see teams really integrated and supporting their NBA 2K teams.
So despite a massive fan base, you know, games like NBA 2K or Madden, they tend to be kind of dismissed by that hardcore gaming demographic as, you know, quote unquote sports games. How do games like Madden or NBA 2K, how do they kind of get past that stigma and become accepted in the more general esports scene?
I think by growing, you know, just by scaling up the game. The closest sort of parallel or successor I've seen in this regard would be in the mobile gaming space. So for years, mobile games, and they are, I mean, they're still a little bit kind of dismissed or put on the side by a lot of those, you know, kind of so-called hardcore gamers or what have you. But the bottom line is that mobile gaming, for instance, now accounts for, the last figure I drew up is $70 billion in revenue, which is more than half of all games. And so I think that if Madden or if NBA 2K, if they're looking for sort of a roadmap, I think they should look at mobile games, again, just because when things get big enough, you can't really ignore it. And then it just sort of organically becomes integrated because it's part of the scene, whether those hardcore fans want it or not. I think the organizations can do a little bit more. They provide a lot of legitimacy in the scene. And, you know, they are signing individual players. We're starting to see that a little bit, but certainly nothing on the size or scale of what goes on with like Clash Royale League, for instance. But I think that there's one other issue and one other thing that they're struggling with is that, you know, like in America, if you grow up and you're good at sports, you're probably going to play football or basketball because those are like the top two sports around here and not soccer. Even if you were growing up in England, then you would play soccer. And so in video games, you see sort of a similar thing where it's like, if you're good at video games, you're probably going to play, you know, the higher profile games. You know, you're going to be looking at League of Legends. You're going to be looking at, I mean, Overwatch, Fortnite, CSGO, Dota 2. And so that's a very difficult problem for them to solve. But in terms of what they could do is just, I think, just by scaling, putting more money into it and growing the scene like that.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Noah Smith, sports contributor for the Washington Post, talking about some Madden.
So, Noah, you were talking about, you know, if you grew up in the United States, you're probably playing football or you're playing basketball. And sports games sort of have a similar hump that people would just rather go watch the real thing, quote unquote, as opposed to watching Madden or FIFA. What can games like Madden do to subvert sort of that that undercurrent that comes inherently with sports games?
I think that's a great question because it really, to me, it taps into the core of and the root of like sports in general. Like, why do we watch sports? And for me, I think for a lot of discussions I have with people, you know, it's not any one thing, right? It's certainly the sport, you enjoy the sport, but there's also a family connection or a geographic connection. But I think that at the root of everything we're talking about, and it sometimes it's like weird for me to make this jump at first, but we're talking about characters. You know, I mean, if I'm watching football, I'm a fan of football players. I'm a fan of basketball players. I want to know their stories. I want to see what's going on with them and supporting them. So I think that, to me, the move would be to do that, would be to really hone in and focus on the gamers themselves as characters, you know, and play off of and sort of benefit from their existing fan bases. Now, the problem that Madden has in particular is that they don't have salary players. They don't have leagues. And so you have a situation where you have the major tournaments and your favorite player might not have made the tournament, like we saw with Skimbo, for instance. And so EA was smart. They brought him in as a caster. But as far as, like, I don't know, bringing people to it, like you're saying, the real thing, it's stuff like I say. I think characters is one big way to do it. I think the other thing is just by getting people to give it a chance and watch. So, you know, when I was at the event up in Redwood City, I was watching some of the games, and really, if you just sort of suspend your disbelief for a second, and I think most people who like football could do this, just suspend it for a second and just watch the games, you know, and see if it's not exciting to you, because I'll tell you, it is, you know, and I grew up playing football, I grew up playing basketball, and these video games too, and I would have never thought I'd be amped up watching somebody else play video games. That was always like the downtime, right? It was like, oh, let me just let this guy get finished so I can get back on. But, you know, watching these guys who are the best in the world out of, you know, tens of millions or however many of the numbers are, millions of players, these are the very best. And, you know, the last minute changes, it's a video game, you know, so you can do things you couldn't really do in real life. And the lead changes, this and that. I probably saw 4 or 5 lead changes in the last minute and a half. It was like March Madness. So I think if they could get people, you know, to connect with gamers and to actually just give it a chance, they might get to where they want to go.
Now, Noah, when we talk about the Madden scene wanting to grow, you know, you had mentioned the mobile games market booming. You had mentioned that the crafts are, you know, are investing heavily into the Overwatch League, which is booming. No other esports scene seems to be struggling with the growth. Do you think that Madden potentially has a ceiling that they may have hit?
I think that there is a ceiling, but I don't think they've hit it. And I think, I mean, it's obviously, as you guys know, I mean, it's super hard sometimes to gauge growth or progress in esports just because there's so many different metrics and numbers to look at and everything. So Madden certainly has fallen off a bit this year from a few different standpoints. It's tough because of the tragedy that struck the community.
Absolutely.
I think that the reason that Madden does have a ceiling is because Madden, it's a football game. It's an American football game. And so much of esports and so much of the numbers and viewers and fans are in Asia, are in China and Korea. And so when you look in and you assess who's actually watching the games, I mean, League of Legends, right, is the most watched of esports. And you're talking about, like, I think it was like 205 million viewers, but then 203 million of those are in China. So it's a tough thing because it involves, it would seem to involve growing the actual sport of football. And so that being said, I think that Madden obviously has a huge amount of room to grow. I mean, EA is, you put in, I mean, a minuscule prize pool. The NFL has stepped back, as we've talked about. And so who knows what would happen if the NFL got more actively involved, more integrations, giving it a little bit more legitimacy, sort of paying attention more. I mean, who knows what could happen, especially because, you know, it is sort of getting out there more. I mean, you're talking about it's on, actual TV, the ability to bring more people in that way. And I'd say one other thing that I haven't mentioned yet, but that I do think is important, and it's the community. I mean, the thing that strikes me about the Madden competitive community as opposed to other gaming communities is that, and this may be because it's, you know, it's smaller than the other ones, but it has this like infectious quality to it. I mean, it's super positive. Everyone's supporting each other. It's fun. You know, it does take on more of like the vibe of like pickup basketball in terms of when you guys are hanging around and talking, because a lot of them do have traditional sports backgrounds. So they're sort of coming from that paradigm. So yeah, I mean, ultimately, like I say, room to grow, but it will it get to League of Legends, Fortnite status? Probably not.
Speaking of coming from that, you know, kind of traditional sports paradigm, you know, theoretically, there's like 60 years worth of a blueprint for the proper way to broadcast a Madden event, right? If we go by football broadcasting. But in practice, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Younger esports fans expect different things out of their broadcast than, you know, more traditional sports fans. So how does Madden or 2K find a way to be able to blend the two?
Right. So this is the exact question I asked EA's had a broadcast for Madden, and he kind of looked at me and said, look, it's something that they are struggling with a lot. But you said there's 60 years of a playbook, so to speak, pun not intended, for real football. But when it comes to esports, nobody really knows the answer to it. So here's what he said, though. He said that basically he came up with the assumption that esports viewers, that video game people would have wanted like a frantic sort of like NFL Red Zone type broadcast where you're jumping into like key moments and seeing scores and then jumping out and going next one, you know, really like an MTV music video kind of thing. But he found that was not the case at all. But in fact, most people who are watching these broadcasts right now, they're watching it to get better. It's sort of like who's watching streaming on Twitch to get better. That's who the carryover is for watching these events, which is not surprising because a lot of times it's on Twitch, obviously. So, I mean, the answer is, you know, what they're trying to do, for instance, so they're showing the full games because they're playing two games at once at some of these Madden events. So they're playing two games at once, but they're going to show one of the games and then, you know, at halftime sort of show the highlights of the other one and then finish that game and then go and catch up on the other game. So that's one thing they learned. They've learned about having a more sort of grassroots style to it. So they're bringing in people from the Madden community, streamers that are popular, and bring them actually to cast events. So that's something that's different than a traditional sports broadcast. And then the other thing is, which I touched on before, is about building up the characters, the gamers. And that's something obviously that does come from traditional sports as well. Obviously, and, you know, ESPN's a lot to do with that. And certainly the networks themselves that broadcast these things are always focused on that too. And so that's something that they believe that there's some carryover. The broadcasting question is emblematic somewhat of just all the things that we're talking about in terms of, you know, who is the audience? Who is this for, ultimately? You know, is it, what's the, and I'd love to see, you know, figures on it, you know, in terms of, you know, who's the esports watcher of Madden versus the traditional sports fan versus age and demographics, what's the carryover? And I guess this is all a long way of saying, I don't know, and they don't know either, so we're all going to find out. And Nate Manzer said the same thing at Overwatch League to me, that and what he said is like they didn't know what they didn't know about the league and about broadcasts and everything. And I think the analogy that keeps coming up with the simile is like they're saying is you know, building a bridge while you're crossing the river, basically. So We're all going to find out.
Noah Smith, Washington Post sports contributor, has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. Noah, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks again to Noah for his time, and make sure you follow him on Twitter. That's @_Noahble. That's Noahble. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we asked our social media followers, if you can hang out with any gaming personality for a day, who would it be and why? We'll share your answers and give our own thoughts ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
Well, as more and more games come out and are trying to vie for our attention, we have to wonder, are they also still competing against games of old?
Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One podcast app. From Westwood One Podcast Network, everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week we asked, if you could spend a day with any gaming personality, who would it be? And we got some fantastic responses, but I just want to thank our social media followers for just a sec for tagging their favorite gaming personalities as well, because that helps expose them to Checkpoint. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. Much appreciated. So let's go around the room first and figure out who we would want to hang out with. Robbie, who are you looking to hang out with? You could hang out with one gaming personality.
Oh, this is probably going to be an easy one. Everyone's going to see this coming, but it would definitely be Matt Mercer of Critical Role.
Yeah, I knew you were.
I would even just take three.
Someone, by the way, you've interviewed before.
I have, yes. Before I got into Critical Role, unfortunately. But I would even take 3 hours with him and be able to actually guest on a campaign one day.
Oh, that would be cool.
Would be amazing. I could die happy after. That
would be remarkably cool. Norris, how about you? If you're hanging out with one gaming personality, developer also in there too, those count, who would you hang out with?
This is always tough for me, because like there's a part of me that would love to hang out with like a selection of cast of casters, or like caster duos.
Yes.
Or crews.
Mm-hmm.
From
various
games
though.
And it's really hard, but I have to say, just to pick their brain, I would love to sit down with Miyamoto.
Ah, yeah.
I mean,
you'd need a translator.
Full translator, and just get a day just kicking it and picking his brain and going like, dude, how? Besides acid,
that sure would be interesting. Although I'm kind of surprised you didn't say Kojima. Joe, what about you?
So I was bouncing back and forth between two. Like Markiplier was someone who kind of inspired me to continue trying to, you know, do video and film and perform. So in a lot of ways, I'd like to hang out with him, but earlier this week, I saw a video that a YouTuber named Daco got to do. He was the first person to clear 50-20 mode in Five Nights at Freddy's Ultimate Custom Night. And for that achievement, Scott Cawthon granted him an interview.
Oh, wow.
Questions about the series.
Oh, that's neat.
Yes. It was, and that got me thinking, like, no, it's definitely got to be a developer. And to that end, I want to spend a day with Toby Fox.
Okay.
I would love to spend a day talking about Undertale and the inspiration, some of the deeper themes behind it, and kind of just pick his brain on what Deltarune's going to mean at some point. Yeah.
Since like, it's never coming out.
I mean, it may never come out, so I'd like to hear it from him, what it was all supposed to be. But yeah, that conversation between Daco and Scott Cawthon really inspired that.
Now, for me, I think that this is probably, once you hear it, it's not going to surprise anyone. But no, it's not Hideo Kojima.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't surprise me.
No, it's not Nobuo Uematsu, although that would be a good one. I would be fascinated to hang out with either one of those guys, and I'm sure that I could sit down and talk to Kojima about movies at great length.
Oh yeah.
But if I had one person to hang out with, and only one person, it would absolutely hands down be Laszlo from the GTA series. This is a guy
that makes perfect sense.
This is a guy who used to be in radio that got hired on by Rockstar to spoof radio, to make fun of radio, and I would just love to sit down and get his take on where the profession has evolved to, and where he gets gets his inspiration. That guy is one of the consistently funny parts of GTA, and
so
I'll tell you,
GTA for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's responsible for all of the commercials and all of that. The dude is a genius, and I would love to spend a day with him. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. We're currently going over our social media question. We ask you guys, if you could hang out with one gaming personality, who would it be? And before we get to your responses, we've got to check in with Voice of the People. Sarah, who would you hang out with if you could hang out with anyone?
So admittedly, the list of things I wouldn't do to hang out with Markiplier is disturbingly short. But I also want to add to put a female personality on the show. Someone who was always very inspirational for me as far as doing videos and content creation would be Dodger, also known as Dexbonus.
Absolutely.
Yes, she does a lot of streaming, especially of more visual novel-like games, and I just feel like we have very similar personalities and would kind of get on like a house on fire and would just love to talk about all the things that come with weird visual novels and kind of where it is today.
Yeah, all right. Like a house on fire? Is that a good thing?
I don't know that that's a saying, but okay, we're going to go with it. Let's check in with our social media audience and see what they had to say.
Over on Facebook, we have Mike who says, I'm big into discussing lore, so I'd have to go with MatPat. Loved his videos covering the FNAF series.
I mean, like I was just mentioning, like with Daco, MatPat, another one who got super into the Five Nights at Freddy's craze when that was going at its height. And yeah, I mean, just you know, like Petscop and the number of games that he's put like really cool theories on, MatPat would be fun to talk to
MatPat would be, I would love to be able to pick his brain, because you're right, he does, he's a wealth of information, he does phenomenal content, researches like crazy, so he, you know, he could absolutely recite all of the numbers and facts. I don't know that I'd get along with him though, like I feel like our personalities would not go well together, but I do like and respect MatPat quite a bit.
Mitch says, it's hard to pick just one from Team Four Star, but Lanny seems like he'd be fun.
Listen,
Lanny Petrar,
Team Four Star, absolutely. I mean, listen, we pay homage to them every time we hit the ball and drop here on the show.
Yep.
Hit the ball and drop, Norris.
Let me give him one time.
Ballin'. There we go. That's Nappa from Dragon Ball Z Abridged, that's just how much we love Team Four Star. So there you go.
Over on Twitter, we have Veracity that says, Dan of Game Grumps. His positivity is a force to be reckoned with, and with some retro multiplier, does everybody good.
Game Grumps has been a pretty common response.
Ego Raptor. And,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah. John Tron was a Game Grump for, I think, at the beginning, right?
I don't remember, but
only the first, like, season or two.
Yeah, in the first season.
I never really got into Game Grumps, but I understood why people liked them.
We have Grimston Man that says, the late Total Biscuit, because one, I miss his velvet voice, man. And two, I'd love to hear what he'd have to say on some of the controversies of today, like Fallout 76 and Anthem.
Absolutely. Gone but not forgotten.
Yeah.
John Bain was a great voice in this community, and
voice that was needed, necessary.
And he's missed. He's absolutely missed.
We have Megan over on Facebook that says, I'd love to hang out with Monty for a day and talk Overwatch.
Oh.
That's not a bad
honestly, Monty's
a,
any of the analysts.
But Monty's a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like me and Monty, in the same, that's not, it can't be possible. The world will implode. Just too much ego in one room.
There would be a mutual respect and understanding by the end of it, though, I think.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Corey says, anyone from Rooster Teeth would be awesome.
Rooster Teeth.
Yeah. Another good one.
Yeah. Man,
Rooster Teeth. With Bernie Burns or I met a bunch of them, Kathleen who plays Tex and Matt who plays Sarge. I met them out at Indiana Con a year ago. What con is that?
Is it C2E2 or
it's the board game con.
Cool, we'll just call it an Indiana Con.
Well, it's sort of like the Team Four Star guys are out at YomaCon every year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've never gotten to run into them. Anyway, all right, we're gonna have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so that your voice can be heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Stone, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.